Hyperion rock from the Gourd Delusion. Reason to Refute, Philosopher Kings, and Nove Kerki. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Don't have a lot of time left, so I'm just going to let you know that it looks like Dan Boda has a live studio guest tonight, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. I'll see you all later. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Vocal Fry here on WFMU. You are hearing in the background the sounds of Leah Bertucci and Amirtha Kadambi from a record of theirs entitled Phase Eclipse. Came out on Astral Spirits a couple years back. It's a piece called Under the Influence. I'm Dan Boda, and with me is DJ Purple Haze.
Hello.
And also with me is Leah Bertucci from this album and from prior visits here to WFMU. And very excited to have you here, Leah. She is going to be performing live. We've got some... she's ready now in the studio to perform. So we're going to start off by listening to some live music from Leah Bertucci here on Vocal Fry on WFMU.
I was in the deep dark. I could barely get the words out. And that's when I realized that I was. No. Mother. And
Woo!
Where does it come from? She asks me where I
Breathe in the room.
You are listening to Vocal Fry on WFMU, and that is live music here in the studio from Leah Bertucci, who is visiting tonight and playing music from her record, The Oracle, kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah, okay. So we'll get some more detail about that. My co-host, by the way, is DJ Purple Haze.
Hello.
Oh, I think it is this one. Here we go.
Can you hear that?
There you are, yeah. Okay. Thanks for being here tonight, Leah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It must be a little strange to have somebody start to interview you right after that, because it seems sort of transportive.
Well, you know, at least it's not like a fancy artist talk kind of. Just don't ask me anything too heady.
So who's the Oracle?
Oh, well,
I don't know if that's too heady. If it is, you can blow me off.
Okay, so the title comes from, you know, oracles have always been a part of human experience, of like the mystical experience, in, you know, going back thousands of years. We've always been interested in the ability to perceive something that is like beyond the senses, that comes from like a different place. And so this kind of like mystical idea of divination was kind of like what was guiding me in the way that I dealt with using my voice on this record, which is pretty different. I mean, I've always been an improviser. Improvisation has always been a huge part of what I do. But using my voice in this way is definitely a new sort of launching point.
Yeah. So, it sounds like you are the oracle in some sense.
I think I am, and I'm yeah, sure, I am. But I'm also like in a lineage of many other oracles. And I think it's possible for anybody to be an oracle if they're interested in that type of looking.
Yeah. So this was in some ways then a process that you were entering into to kind of create this kind of music and let it happen.
Yeah, I call it like a stream of unconsciousness, where I don't really know what's going to come out. I often find myself describing dreams that I've had, or, you know, just kind of whatever's going through the old brain at any given time, which is dangerous, you know, because you never know what's going to come out.
Right. And you're live.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, when you're performing these pieces live, or mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a really vulnerable thing. But I like the idea of making a living music that is always different. Even if there's like structural things that I do that I know work, a lot of the contents of the vocal parts are improvised, and yeah, I never know what's going to happen. Yeah, it's often just like a question of trying to tune into how I feel and what my experiences in recent moments are.
And so that we're hearing that, but we're also hearing some field recordings, it sounds like, that you've prepared ahead of time and worked on.
Yeah. So let's see, what was in that? You're hearing some field recordings of the New York Ferry, which is a great thing to make recordings of. There were some glass chimes that I found at a yard sale. What else was in there? There are some of these, I made recordings of these pipe organ pipes that were taken out of like a dead, old, deconstructed pipe organ. So like a collage of that. And you were hearing like a mixture of material from my last record, The Oracle, which came out last October, and some new stuff that I'm kind of test driving currently that will probably be integrated into the next album.
You have some shows coming up. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, my music is like I do solo music, which is like all composed and performed by me, and then I also do music that is to be performed by other people. So the tour that I have coming up is this piece that I worked on for almost 2 years. It's for archaic flutes and multi-channel sound. It's called The Days Pass Quickly, Immersed in the Shadow of Eternity. I know it's a long mouthful of a title, but there's a good reason for it. So this was written for a master early musician named Norbert Rodenkirchen, who is from Germany, and he's coming here next week. And we are going to do 7 shows of this piece. Yeah, it's been a really wonderful process working with him and learning from him and getting really deep into like the long history of human musicking through these instruments, which are all replicas of Renaissance, medieval, and even Neolithic flutes. They're all made of wood and bone. He has one that's a swan bone flute that sounds really insane. Yeah, it's an interesting piece, and I'm really thrilled to be able to perform it here in the USA. We premiered it in Germany in November.
Okay.
And it's also coming out on recorded formats in May. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that and how is that coming out, I guess, on record? Is it coming through a record company, or is it?
So it's going to be like a co-release between my label and Bloom Editions. They're going to do the LP later on in the summertime. I'm doing a run of CDs, and as part of my master's thesis, I wrote like a 35-page essay about this piece. So I kind of reconfigured that writing to be less boring academic speak. Into something more readable, and that's also going to come out as a booklet that comes with a download. So trying to cover all the bases here.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really fascinating. How did you get into working with Norbert and these really early or even pre-early?
ancient stuff.
Prehistoric flutes.
Yeah. So we were introduced in, I think, 2019 by a mutual friend, Robbie Lee, who lives in Brooklyn and is also a great musician. Norbert plays in a very storied medieval group called Sequentia, and they were playing a show at the Corpus Christi Church on the Upper West Side. And Robbie called me and he was like, you have to come to this concert. he knew that I was, you know, into early music. And so I went, and it just absolutely blew me away. It was this program that was all like charms and spells. This group is really known for doing pretty mystical interpretations of early music and sort of going against the very Catholic-oriented repertoire and kind of going into more obscure and folkloric zones of that music. So, yeah, I went to that concert and I was totally blown away. And I met Norbert and we started corresponding and doing some remote collaboration stuff. And then I had this idea for this piece. So the piece that we're doing is one in which I sample, I made extensive recordings of 5 of his flutes, and I sampled every pitch and different melodies and techniques that he developed on each of these 5 instruments. And then the composition is that I live trigger and mix all of these samples within an 8-channel array. So it's kind of this like super dissonant, dense flute choir.
And the live performances will feature not just the samples, but also him playing live with you.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's like, you know, it's like fixed media that is like also kind of not fixed. You know, in that I'm playing these samples, but I'm live mixing them and I'm live triggering them. so it's not an improvisation, but it has improvisational elements to it.
Do you have, so you're going to be playing at the Issue Project Room next Wednesday. I know that much.
Yes.
About your 7 dates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Brooklyn, for people who don't know, on Borum Street. Mm-hmm. Borum Place?
Place, I think.
Borum Place. I should know that. 22 Borum in downtown Brooklyn. Great venue. And
I think the flutes will sound really beautiful in that space.
Yeah, it's an old sort of stone space.
Yeah, it's like marble. Like all the floors and walls are made of marble, so it's beautifully resonant. I saw some Ilian Radig pieces in there some years ago, and they were just astounding. So,
you are an artist in residence at Issue, is that right?
Yeah, I think that was back in 2015.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've played there, so I'm excited to come back.
Yeah, so that's great. Where else will you guys be performing? Where does your tour take you?
Yeah, on the 14th, we're playing at Hamilton's Mansion at the Woodlands in Philadelphia. And then the 17th, we're playing at Epsilon Spires in Brattleboro, Vermont. The 18th, we're playing at MIT, Lynx Hall. I think it's called Lynx Hall. presented by Non-Event in Boston. Then the 19th, we're playing at the Basilica in Hudson, New York. The 20th, we're playing at Oberlin. And then the 24th, we're playing in San Francisco at the Lab.
Wow.
Yes. And then we're doing solo sets on the 26th at the Marin Headland Center for the Arts. Yeah.
Very exciting. And the record comes out in May, you said?
Yes. Yeah. It'll be out in May. But I will have advanced copies on the tour.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to perform some more?
Sure.
Or, I mean, if you're up for it, I'd love to hear more.
Yeah.
We have about 20 minutes left in the program, so.
Yes. Should we talk about the tickets?
Yeah. Let me do that. Right. Yeah. I have a pair of tickets to give away for the Issue Project Rome show. So if anybody would like to go, give a call. 201-536-9368 is the phone number. Once again, 201-536-9368. If you've already won tickets in the past month, please don't leave space for other folks to call up and win something. And if you know that you're not going to be able to go, of course, please don't call. But otherwise, next Wednesday, the doors are at 7:30. The show starts at 8 at 22 Borum Place in downtown Brooklyn. And that's a pair of tickets. So give a call, 201-536-9368. And more live music now from Leah Bertucci here on Vocal Fry on WFMU.
They must go. Could barely see.
Live music here on WFMU from Leah Bertucci, my guest here on Vocal Fry for this Tuesday. And thank you, Leah.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
Great to be back here.
Really great to have you in. There's so much, it's like avant-garde ASMR kind of in some ways, right?
One of the things that I was kind of got into learning about was techniques of hypnotism. Mm. You know, there's whole ways of talking and pacing your speech that hypnotists use to like put you into some other kind of mental state. And I became really interested in the possibilities of that musically. So that's something I'm sort of continuing to get weird and deep into. And I feel like ASMR is kind of like a form of hypnotism, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
In general, are you a very like spiritual person?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like I wouldn't say I'm a religious person, which of course is different than spiritual, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, I live in upstate New York. I live in a pretty, you know, beautiful area. And so I'm pretty like attuned to nature and, you know, messages from it, which I don't know. Yeah, I guess I am kind of spiritual. I don't know.
I was just wondering that earlier when you were talking about sort of going into like a subconscious or unconscious while performing.
Yeah, I do like the idea as a musician that like we have this power to tap into something that is like greater than ourselves. So to be able to not just transcend the ego, but also transcend time and place and just like channel something greater than ourselves, like a form of expression that is beyond us. I think that is, you know, when musicians are really doing it right, that's like what we can tap into. And it's, yeah, I guess that's kind of spiritual. I don't know. I growing up in upstate New York, there's a lot of hippy dippy stuff.
Yeah.
Up there. So I am also very much like a skeptic about spirituality.
Which is kind of, you know, it's appropriate coming on after a show called Music of Mind Control that plays music from all kinds of cults, many of which are hippie cults. So that's the show before this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing because, like, a lot of that music is quite great.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of overlap between that show and ours sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Yeah.
Just for listeners who can't see what we know, I'm just curious if you could describe for people what you use to make this music.
Yeah, so my setup right now is that I'm processing my voice through a Sony TC-440 solid-state reel-to-reel tape machine, quarter-inch tape. It's an amazing instrument. It's also a huge pain to deal with. It's heavy. It doesn't always work. It sort of has a mind of its own sometimes. But I do find it to be a wonderful way to not necessarily filter my voice, but to sort of extend it, because it can make my voice higher than what I'm physically capable of and also lower. It also has like a really nice tactile element to it where I can touch the reels. I'm slowing them down. It's a very like, it extends my body. It extends my voice rather than filtering it like most electronics might do. So I have that. And then I have my super Ableton setup with like all my sounds in that. And, you know, I fought against using a computer on stage for a long time. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a means to an end. And the quality of what I can do and the ease with which I can do it is really amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's
old tech and new tech.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's sort of what it means when people read the liner notes and it says electronics, mm-hmm. Right?
Right, right.
Yeah, could mean a lot of different things, but I think you have a pretty interesting setup, and the work you do with the reel-to-reel is pretty unique.
Thanks. I think it's also great as like a performative element. You know, people enjoy seeing the physical relationship between me and the machine. So that's always a cool thing too.
Yeah, I got very excited when I saw how fast they were spinning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has three speeds, and it has sound on sound and echo effects. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. So some of what you're some of the effects that you're getting are, or maybe all, are from the reel to reel. They're built in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the effects on my voice are just from the machine, and
it's really just
pitch control and delay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can do a lot with that when you are manipulating them in tandem. So.
Final question. Maybe now that we've both warmed up a little bit, I can ask something a little bit deep. I don't know.
Go for it. We'll see where we go.
Well, I was just thinking about this this approach and this music. You know, there's all these little fragments that are coming out that are audible, and then others that aren't, and it's like a stew.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of like this, you know, this melting pot of consciousness. So I get the whole, like, you know, stream of unconsciousness phrase, which I think is a brilliant way to capture what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you, like, seen things that are, you know, out there on the internet, like written, where you've said that it seems appropriate for this time, this sort of like mythopoetic stew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious. I mean, you know, right now, like, you know, we're living in a country that's at war. We're, you know, living through some insane times over the last decade. And I'm just curious how you, whether you see a link, or whether, like, how this connects to the world that we live in the moment.
Yeah.
If you can expand on that at all.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that the spectacle of communication, verbal communication, is really at an all-time high. The way that, like, our president communicates is so multi-layered, and he knows how to do it in this way that is really, really manipulates people. He manipulates his base to get really excited, and he manipulates his enemies to become afraid or angry. But it's incredibly effective communication in that sense of wanting to sow chaos, right? I think that the thing about what I'm doing here is that I intentionally leave a lot of space for the listener to hear what they want to hear. Different things leap out to different people, and people project their own sort of ideas on what's being said. And I think that there's something really interesting in terms of, like, holding a mirror up to someone in that way. And it's just to sort of talk about the way that words are not clear. The way that we talk in language has undergone massive transformations within the last 10, 15, 20 years, where we're talking about power differently. We're talking about identity differently. We're talking about all these things in very different ways than we used to. So I think that it's kind of like the issue of our time, ultimately, is one of the difficulties and sometimes near impossibility of communication and understanding.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a catharsis around that.
Very articulately put, and thank you for tackling that.
Thanks. I'm just saying a bunch of gibberish.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. This show goes very short for having live guests on. But Leah, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And everybody should be looking out for Leah on tour with Norbert Rodenbacher.
Rodenkirchen. Yeah, 14th in Philly, 15th in Brooklyn. And on and on.
And on and on. And that's the 15th next week at Issue Project Rome. Thank you so much, Leah.
Okay, thank you.
And you have been listening to Vocal Fry on WFMU. I'm Dan Boda, and with me is my co-host, as always, or as many weeks, DJ Purple Haze. And we are going to get ready now to hand things over to Kendra Plex right here on
WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Woo, from memory.
Yes.
All right.